Okay, good morning. Scripture reading for today, Mother's Day, is in Colossians chapter 3. What a surprise, it's not Proverbs 31. But anyway, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and this is the New International Version. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
On this Mother's Day, I have the privilege of welcoming one more time Reverend Steve Pence, who's a brother, a son of the church, a son of Muriel, and I think it's a special blessing for us today to hear from him, and also Muriel and Alan, as today's Mother's Day. So we present to you your son, that he might be a blessing not just to you, but all of us on this Mother's Day. Thanks, Steve, for coming.
We'd like to wish a happy gender-neutral Mother's Day to all who identify as mothers, potential mothers, or otherwise wish to embrace motherhood in whatever fashion or manner that suits your current expression of selfhood. Got that? This is to be taken, small print, this is to be taken as non-patriarchal and non-offensive manner. And please don't sue us. I think we can say that the times, they are a-changing. And I want to thank my brother Dave for giving us the introduction to the sermon from this morning, as he shared in the Sunday school class about the way the generation, was it Generation Alpha, the non-millennials, the next crew, are all different from the way some of us were raised. And I look and I think, okay, I'm right on the cusp between the boomers and the busters. And sometimes I think like a baby buster or a Generation X person. And I look at the millennials and they were different from I was, and now the next generation is different there. Those kids are college students. And so you read the news and you see what's going on, you see what people are saying, and you realize that the times really are changing. That was a line from the 60s, right? Anyone remember the 60s? Okay, all right, remember the 60s, vaguely. And so the situation has changed. We've got things going on in our world. I don't know, anyone follow the news at all? Anyone see what's, you know, things people are protesting about and complaining about and saying is right or wrong or they should do or shouldn't do. The world is a really strange place as we have, you know, people identifying their gender based on their feelings that morning or whatever, however they determine that, and issues about who's allowed to speak on our college campus and what views we like and what views we don't want to hear and what words you're not allowed to say because they might trigger me. The world is a funny place. One of the things my mother taught me was how to tell time. Okay, and time, the times, the situation, you know, I learned how to tell time. Now, for those of you who are old school, this is what a clock used to look like. Okay? Anyone remember clocks with hands? And you had to know the big hand is on the 3 and the little hand is on the VIII. Some of you really go far enough back to remember. Anyone remember Roman numerals? Remember how those work? Anyone remember? I mean, we, you know, with kids these days, you say, tell me what time it is. And they go, I don't know. It's not digital. Remember digital clocks came out and the kids now no longer know how to read these things? And it gets even more interesting because the world we live in today, we were told this morning, the iGen has always had a phone, a cell phone, and probably a smartphone. And so you want to know what time it is, you look at your phone. And so when the iPhone came out, you might remember this, if you remember when the iPhone came out, how many of you are old? But people said, I will never have to wear a watch again. I'll just carry my phone. Never have to wear a watch. Well, guess what? Then Apple came out with the iWatch. So, you know, we're back to wearing watch. Of course, this is not a watch. It's not a watch. It's a personal fitness tracker. So the fact that I can tap it and see what time it is only incidental to its purpose. Now, is the world a changing place? Is this, anyone having trouble keeping up with this? Anyone challenged by this? It's one of those things. As I was thinking about this, the scripture came to mind. And the times we live in being different and moving and changing. I remember this little phrase. Now, this is the context. The context in Chronicles says, these are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord had said. And there's a list of the different people, different groups, different tribes who sent delegations to David when he was king at Hebron over Judah. And these were the other 10 tribes who said, we want David to be our king. And it's interesting, the men of Issachar, says men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command, they came to David to make David king of all of Israel. And it's interesting to me that the note, what is it about these guys that got mentioned in scripture for all time, noted by God, written down so that we would know? They were men who knew the times. And so my mother taught me to tell time, but I also have to learn how to understand the times. And so our challenge is to understand the times we live in. And it's an interesting time to be alive. Nowadays, if you stand up and believe in traditional marriage, you have now become a hater. You're a hater because you believe in traditional marriage. If you say, no, I believe that, you know, one man, one woman, and the biblical pattern is one man, one woman, one lifetime. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you believe in that, you're now a hater. You're now narrow-minded. You're a bigot. You're against anyone who has a different view. You also have the issue of, you know, gender expression, which, you know, when I grew up, I learned a biology class, you know, male and female. It's a chromosomal thing. You have a Y chromosome. That means you're a guy. And that means you have immunity from going to the doctor and a variety of other things that men get to do because they, you know, have a Y chromosome and I can't help it. That's who I am. But nowadays, that doesn't mean anything. You know, the biology, of course, my mother taught me a little bit of biology. She's a biology teacher. Consult with her about the whole, you know, what the chromosomes mean and how that expresses gender. But nowadays, that doesn't mean the same thing. Doesn't mean anything anymore. And so the times that we live in are very challenging, especially for those of us who are Christians and believe that, you know, some of these things come from God, and God established an order and the way things should be done. And now we become the voice of the minority. We become that group that, no, we don't want to hear from you. You're wrong. No. And so we've been basically put out. And the way our modern society works, they don't want to hear from a point of view that comes from a biblical standard. Another one that's going on in the news these days, the state of Georgia has passed a law, a little less, if you would. The state of Georgia has passed a law saying, you know, no abortion after a heartbeat is detectable. And the state of New York has passed a law that says abortion can happen right up to the point that the mother is giving birth. And so, you know, as Christians, we say, you know, we believe in life. We believe that God wants us to respect life. And you've got the debate going on, and who knows where that one's going to end, and how we as Christians are going to be put into a position where we're wrong, and we should shut up and go away, and stop bothering people with our, you know, Puritan morality that is no longer appropriate for the modern times, or the times we live in. And so that's the challenge that we face. In fact, this morning, as I was scrolling through Fox News, I read too much Fox News. It makes me depressed. And it makes me worry about how people are gonna react to my views. But none other than Mike Pence, so don't take it from me, take it from another Pence, Mike Pence, our vice president, gave the address at Lynchburg at Liberty University, and he said that he warned the Christian graduates to prepare for hostility from the secular world. And so those are the times we live in. Another thing my mother taught me, she taught me to look both ways when I crossed the street. Now, I'm too young to remember that, but I remember the street I grew up in. You know, I remember that night, it was a wide street. They didn't have a lot of cars, but every now and then a car would come by. We could play street hockey in the street. That's how untrafficked it was. But, you know, periodically we'd have to stop and let the car go by. And so she taught me, I'm sure, don't run out into the street until you've looked for cars. And so my advice to you is, as we navigate this new modern world that we live in, we should be aware of the dangers and the risks and what's going on around us. Look both ways before you open your mouth and cross the street and say, I'm a Christian, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. Oh, that's narrow-minded. That's potentially exclusivistic, and we wouldn't want to not be inclusive. But as Christians, we need to be who we are. We'll get there. But so we need to be aware of the dangers that surround us. We need to understand what's going on. We need to know what the times are. In David's day, the men of Issachar knew that the right thing for their tribe, for the tribe of Issachar, and for the people of God, was to have David as their king. We as Christians live in this world where we got a lot of voices speaking things that are very contrary to what we believe. And so we need to know how to express what we believe. We need to know how to be who we are and deal with the times that we live in. Here's something that Jesus said. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And so as Christians today in this world, this scripture is more true now than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20, 30. I don't know, how far back should I go? How many far back do you remember? But if you remember, it used to be easier, and now it's getting harder. And the truth that the world hates us, that's becoming more and more evident as we experience our modern society. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? How should we respond to this situation that we find ourselves in as Christians in 2019. Here's another thing my mother taught me. And I was too young to really remember learning this. I don't remember her teaching me, but I know that she was had to be the one who taught me. What is your name? You know, as a little kid, that you know, tell the police officer your full name. If you're ever lost, go find a police officer and tell him your full name. You are Stephen Pence. Make sure you get the Pence right, because that's important. I needed to know my full name. I needed to know my address, 2227 West Boulevard. Still remember it, okay? And the point is, I know my name and my address, where, who I am and where I come from. I needed to know my phone number, 865-0965. I needed to remember that stuff, because as a little kid, it's important. Now, maybe not anymore. You know, a little kid, nowadays, you just pull out your cell phone and call mom, you know, if you're lost. But for a little kid back when I was growing up, I needed to know my name, my address, my phone number. Okay, and so I'm sure my dad helped to teach me, but I'm pretty sure it was my mom who did the teaching of making sure I was a little kid knew these things. Here's what you need to know as Christians. You need to know who you are. You need to know where you belong. And you need to know where your home is. Here's part of what the Bible says about who you are. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are the children of God. And that means you belong to God. That's who we are. This is our identity. So when you run into the world, when you run into people, when you run into situations, you need to remember, I'm a child of God. I belong to God. And so maybe the people I'm interacting with don't belong to God. Maybe they know what that means. Maybe they don't know what that means. Maybe they want to push back because they don't like a particular opinion that I'm about to share or that I've shared before. Maybe they're sitting there going, you know, oh, don't you say that. We'll sue you. I'm a child of God. Doesn't matter what else happens. I belong to the people of God. And so that's who I am. What is your name? When the police officer says, oh, Skookie, sonny, you're lost. Who are you? You are a child of the family of God. Your family name is God's. And so that's who we belong to. Here's another thing from our scripture this morning. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we need to know who we are, we need to know where we belong, and we need to know where our home is. Your true home is in heaven. One of the things about belonging and knowing where you belong is that that's where you fit. When I went home, every time I went home to mom and dad's house, I belonged, I fit, I was part of the family. I was treated like part of the family. And so when you get out in the world and they don't treat you like family, it's because you're not family. But when you come here, when you come together with the people of God, the body of Christ, you should feel like family. You should fit. You should say, these are the people that I'm a part of. And we should all be connected together because we all believe in Jesus Christ. We all believe that the scripture is the word of God. We all believe that God's way is the right way. And the more we come into tune with that. Now, every now and then, I got outside of where I should have been as a member of my family. And my parents were quick to tell me, that's not how you should act. You're a Pence. You need to be tall, sound like Al. But you know how it is. There are certain things your parents told you. We don't do that in our house. We don't behave that way. And so as Christians, if we belong here, then we need to behave like we belong to this family. And if we're not behaving like we belong to this, and there's things that Scripture says we're not supposed to do. There's things that Scripture says we're supposed to do. So we need to say, look, this is my family. This is where I belong. So I need to behave like a member of the family and do what I'm supposed to do as a part of the family. Because where is home? I don't know. Do you put your feet up on the furniture at home? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. You know, I don't know what the rules are at your house. But the point is, at your house, you ever heard this line? It's my house. I'm setting the rules. You ever heard your parents say that, you know? As long as I pay the bills, we'll be doing it my way. Well, guess who pays the bills at our true home? Jesus paid the bill. Jesus paid the bill, and God sets the rules. And so when we all go to heaven, we're going to follow his rules. And the people who don't want to follow God's rules, well, guess what? They don't get to go. And that's just the truth of it. And that's maybe a good way to explain how a loving God can send people to hell. You know, as members of God's family, we say, I want to go be with God in heaven because I love him. And I'm happy to obey his rules because I love him. And because I love God, being in heaven with that forever with him sounds like a good idea. And if you don't like that, it's not what you want to do, then fine. You can just go to the other place, I guess. Well, I mean, literally, that's the choice. And we as Christians have chosen to love God and to follow his rules and say, I want to spend time in his house. And so explaining to other people, you know, God gives you a choice. He doesn't make you go where you don't want to go. And he's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. And if you don't like God's rules, you don't have to obey them. Go ahead, don't. God loves you. He'd love you for you to obey him. But if you don't want to love God, then you don't have to go to his house. And you don't have to spend an eternity with him. And so figuring out how to say that in a loving fashion to a world that really doesn't want to hear about God's rules and God's ways, that's part of our challenge. Your true home is in heaven. That's where we're going. And so when the world gives you a hard time, when you get discouraged, when you get run into difficulty, remember, I'm not home yet. And I've said it to myself many times. Home is a place I've never been yet. I just want to go home. I'm moving back to Lehigh Valley, but that's still not the same as going to my true home. One other thing my mother taught me, and this is maybe the way we deal with the people around us who disagree with us, the way we deal with all these voices coming at us because the times have changed. One of the things my mother taught me is to be kind to others. And again, I don't even remember her teaching me. I was that little. But the idea that I needed to be kind to the people around me, I know she taught me that. That was part of who I was supposed to be as a Pence and what I was supposed to be as part of her family. And so being kind to others in the midst of all of the differences of opinions, in the midst of all the differences about what we believe. That maybe is the best solution. Remember who you are. Remember where you belong. Remember your identity in Christ. And be kind to other people. This is from 1 Peter. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who gives you asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Peter wrote these words during the time of the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, the Christians were very much misunderstood. People thought they were some kind of strange sect that, you know, met in secret and didn't tell anybody what they believed, and they were busy eating the body and blood of their Lord, and who knew what that meant? And so the Roman world didn't know what to do with the Christians. Peter says, if they speak maliciously against you, show them your good behavior. Show them your good behavior so that they can be ashamed. And maybe as people call us haters and say nasty things about us because, well, yeah, if you stand up for traditional marriage, we will ban your restaurant from our food court. Just remember that. Chick-fil-A. Got to follow what's going on in the news. They were banned in Atlanta because, you know, San Antonio, because they were against traditional marriage. And so if they treat you badly, show them kindness. It's also from Colossians. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Jesus called us to love our enemies. And so when they call us haters because we don't agree with them about whatever it is they're on, we need to love them. We need to show them love. We need to show them kindness and compassion. And even though they want to malign us and say bad things about us, that love will leave them knowing that they're wrong, whether they admit it or not. And so, the times we live in, what's the solution? We may not change society. You know, the Christians in the second century AD were busy being persecuted. But by the third century AD, Christianity had become the religion of the empire. So revival can happen. Turnaround can happen. Whether that's the Lord's plan before he comes or not, I don't know. But as we live in the world we live in, knowing who we are and showing kindness to others in the process of sharing God's love with them. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just ask that you would help us to be aware of what's going on around us. Lord, help us not to worry about what we have to say and how that might offend somebody. But at the same time, Lord, help us to know how to be loving and kind and not be surprised when people get offended and not be surprised when people treat us badly because they don't know you and they don't really want to hear. Lord, we just pray that you give us the grace to live under pressure the way we should. We pray this in Jesus' name.